Accession number 18456, Reel 3.
George Ponsford, Reel 3. You're just describing the British...
The 25-pounders that went out, what they call a creeping barrage, we used to go and follow him behind it. If one dropped you, it was too bad. Somebody went for a burn and just follow up, and we go in. But the Americans, they would lamp, last a place for 24 hours, shell after shell after shell, go on all the time. Then they go in, give it a rest, and they go in maybe a day later. Then they find that a place is occupied again. And that was the difference between us and the Americans. And of course, as you know, when we got there, there was well in retreat. I understand by books I've read that their officers were getting on the planes, go back to Japan. They didn't want to know nothing about it. But along came, Walker was the general. He got killed, didn't he? And along came old, who they called, old, we called in Italy, old Iron Tits, was Ridgway, and Van Fleet. And Ridgway said, our men are leg bound. Because everywhere they went by transport. They had none of this marching. And he turned the tables and he made them do their maneuvers, he made them march, he made them all get out of Japan and get back where they belong. And that's what they were paid for. But you don't realise this, you don't realise what war was like till you've been in it. You cannot describe it to anybody outside.
Did the arrival of Ridgway have much effect on you?
Oh yeah, a lot of effect. Yeah, we knew him from the days of Italy and 5th Army, 8th Army. Yeah, when Ridgway was there, he sat there with his old grenades on there. I was going to grab him and shake hands with him. I thought, well, I don't know, he got bodyguards down, he'd lead Americans to trigger at me. They might shoot me. But, I just waved out there and said, oh, yep, that reminds me of Italy. And he just waved back and off we went. No, he turned the war round. No messing about. He put his troops on what they should be doing.
Did he have hand grenades on his chest when you saw him?
Yeah, I used to call him Iron Tits, didn't he? He had them on there. He's sitting in the jeep. You know, I thought to myself, oh, you're tying your blokes a leg bound, but you're sitting in that jeep. Been doing all that while. That's a privilege, I suppose. But Joe Kahn used to come round, he was well respected by everybody in the regiment. He was a lovely man. Quiet, unassuming, he had his old pipe. Never shook, never shouted, never hesitated.
Were there any others in the regiment who did good work apart from Kahn and Farrah Hockley?
I think they all done good work, every one of them. They can't, you just can't form. To me, the Gloucester Regiment, it was one big, happy family. You had your quarrels, your little rows and your tiffs, but they all mucked in. They all sort of recognise you and they get in contact with you. I mean, Owen Smith, he ran all over the place to find me. Eventually he got through to me.
When did you leave the army again?
1953, April. We came home, I packed my stripes in because they wanted somebody to look after the American weapons. I applied for the job, packed my stripes, I've got it. And I can wish for better. I think the bloke's name was Colonel Shettle. He was my governor, nobody else. I was with the American Army, attached to the American Army. So all around England, demonstration, I was take all their weapons, all around like Hythe, Netherhaven, Sandhurst, place you look at, get all the weapons out, lay them all out, and then the soldiers would come out and give demonstrations with them. You had the 105 recorders rifle, the Brownings, They had big mortars, and it was great. I didn't mind because they looked after me well. They gave me £1.50 for me breakfast in the morning, and that cost about, what, 1 and 8 pence in them days. Then they gave me a carton of cigarettes, and I was going to Nappy to smoke me Yankee fag, and I said, "Get a fag pot, get on your bike and buy your own." No, but I used to give them out. Good lads. Yeah, they were great days. That was a long time ago.